Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
Hello, MG. How are you going this morning?
I am fantastic. How are you? Mate, you've put up well after wasn't such a late night last night because of the front bar didn't go as late, did it?
No, it was. I've gone straight through. I haven't been to bed.
You look like Steve Smith. You're not blinking. What's going on?
I'm not blinking. Hi, I am looking forward to this morning's breakfast show with MG. What a nutcase. Oh. He's just, isn't it incredible? He's one of the, have you got it there? Get the audio out, please.
For reference.
This is announcing that he's been picked up by an IPL team.
Namaste, India. I've got some exciting news for you. I'm joining IPL 2023. Yes, that's right. I'm joining an exceptional and passionate team in India.
Yes, that's right.
The words passionate and exciting have never sounded more weird from a passionless man.
For those that know, those are in our vintage, Get Smart was a great show back in the day, and they had an agent who was called Jaime. He was a robot. He sounded like Jaime then as he was explaining where he was going to be next year.
Maybe he's been created by artificial intelligence.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
Steve Smith. You know what? Former Australian captains are a weird bunch. You've got Michael Clarke running around in a park without a top on. And down the other end, you've got a very robotic Steve Smith who's... Well, a former Australian captain, but been reinstated, I suppose, at least temporarily.
Yeah.
They're like swimmers. You know, have you ever noticed that, the connection between swimmers who, seriously, they're all Captain Sensible while they're swimming,
yeah.
And then the minute they retire, hello.
Cocoa bananas.
Next thing you know, they're in the foyer of a hotel in their underpants.
Playing the piano.
playing the piano before they're busting it. You know what I mean? On the still knocks, trying to.
Oh, wow.
Mate, you ever look at the run of former swimmers? And they don't adjust to the real world well.
No. But they've had no childhood.
Well, they've had no childhood. They've had no life. But basically, they've been looking at the bottom of a pool for 8 hours a day for the bulk of their life. Then you take that away from them and, hello, time to start urinating in public places. I don't know. They're a bit of poo jogging. And this is the type of things they automatically do. Nipple cripple someone on a long-haul flight. I mean... And the list goes on. Get your photo taken naked except for a fish across your nads. You know what I'm saying? There's a history of nutty behaviour that's particular to swimmers. Do you know how they all say, whenever I interview them, I always ask them, oh, by the way, have you been back in a pool since you retired? And they all go, nah.
No.
Absolutely not. Never. Like that, it's like they're working away from a bad dream. I feel the same way with baths. I had one once. I didn't like it.
No.
All right, who's on the show today? Ross Noble. That'll be great.
Yeah,
and I guess you'll be talking up a pretty big game of NRL tonight. You fancy this one, don't you?
Yeah, Roosters taking on the Eels. In fact, the first three games of this round five, Roosters and Eels tonight, and then tomorrow night you've got the Raiders and Panthers and Rabbitohs and Storm. So three crackers to start round five off.
Tick-tack, tick-tack. Checking the latest online. It's Mick Talk.
I have been scouring the platforms to see what is ringing your bell out there, tripping your trigger. And what I've come up with is this story by a woman who tried to get her license 960 times and finally got it at the age of 69. She's from South Korea. She's now cruising along. She's finally there after passing her written driver's test. As detailed in a viral video, I wanted to play it for you, but I've only just realised it's all in Korean.
We can still give it a crack if
I'll translate.
Yeah, give it a crack. Let's have a listen. 있는 방법이다. 면허 갱신 기간에 What she's saying is, I'm an idiot. I've got to go.
This is what Steve Smith should have done something similar with a bit of music in the background.
Yeah, he needs some music underneath him. So She finally got it on a 961st attempt.
Yay.
It's taken her, I don't even know how many years.
Well, let's just say she was 16 when she tried. That's right. 64.
Well, when she first started, she had to get out and crank the engine out the front. That's how long it was. The first time she went for her license, it was on horseback. do you reckon you'd get, I'm no, you know, I like her stick at it attitude.
Yeah.
But I reckon about 351, I'd probably give it a miss.
I think so. I'm with you.
Yeah, I'd love to know all the fails that she did and what the reasons were.
Oh, but, I can only imagine. Can only imagine.
Did you get it first time?
Yes, I did.
Did you?
Yep.
But did they go, oh, it's Mark Geyer?
I was only 15 and 10 months, I think, when I could get my P's back in the day. I used to drive around in my mum and dad's Valiant when I first got it, the station wagon Valiant. And what I did was, I realised that mum and dad had a hole in their muffler. So it sounded pretty cool. It sounded like a V8. So I tried to put a bigger hole in it and then stuff the whole exhaust system up.
I must ask my chauffeur how many times. He went for something. I like to sit in the back, mate. In fact, if you ever drive me around, don't be offended if I just jump in the back.
Just jump in the back seat.
and if you would, I wouldn't mind you wearing a little cap. Yeah. All right, well, congratulations to Cha Sa-Soon, who on her 961st time finally got the chockies and got that driver's license.
Good on her.
So well done all. Now, tight ass watch. There's some hardcore tight asses out there right now, and they need to be named. They need to be shamed. You know one. I know one. Everyone knows one. 133353. It's all in honour this morning of this New South Wales woman who spent no money in 8 years.
Wow.
Has not spent a single cent. And here we are talking about the cost of living and the impact it's having on us. Nothing for Jo Namath from Northern New South Wales. Quit a job in 2014 because she felt every time she spent her money, it was harming someone. That's a good reason not to put your hand in your pocket. I'm on to you, Jo. Well, let's let her explain how she's been doing it.
I knew some people who lived up the road who had a farm. Maybe I can go and live there on their property and help them out. I organised with them to build a little shack out of recycled materials, and I lived there and I helped garden, I helped look after the kids, and I built myself a little rocket stove and used twigs and sticks to burn. I did use their water from their dam. A friend of mine had a cafe at the time. When you go to a cafe, often they'll put a serviette under your coffee cup. So she saved all of those for me, and I used those as toilet paper.
All right.
Just got all my friends and family to hold on to their old tubes of toothpaste when they were going to throw them out, and get the tiniest bit of toothpaste out.
Oh. Yeah. Dating's going to be hard for her, isn't it? Really? I'm okay if napkins go that way, from underneath your coffee cup to toilet paper, but if it's the other way, that's not a good cafe. Not a good cafe. What a tight ass. That is incredible. I don't want to go to her place for dinner. I really don't. No. And I know a tight ass. You know a tight ass. I've got a mate she should date because he hasn't shouted in 8 years. Hey. You know, and it used to be fun to watch. Remember in the old days? You'd go, he's off to the toilet again. It's his round. Oh, he's taking a phone call. Oh, no, he's out the front talking to a friend. But in the era of $15 schooners, no. That caper is done and dusted. What about this woman who has told us how she sneaks in a bottle of wine into a music festival in a hollowed-out loaf of sourdough?
It's tight ass.
That's smart.
Now, that's a tight ass. You could possibly, buy some alcohol. No. Well, tight ass or genius, MG?
Yeah.
Here's the question as far as I'm concerned. A loaf of sourdough, who's going to look inside a loaf of sourdough for alcohol? My problem is I'd need a loaf of sourdough the size of a keg.
Yes. I'd need a couple of 12-inch Subways.
Yeah, a six-pack of Subways. Gee, Mick, you're hungry today? Yep, yep. I'm on to my seventh Subway. I'm on to my seventh foot long. We've got some calls already on the line. Let's take one. Braden's calling. Braden, you've got someone who's a bit of a tight ass.
Yeah, boys. I've got to wrap my brother out for this one. He's 19. Bloody had to go to the shop or to work a couple of weeks back and was too lazy to refuel his car, so asked if you could use mine. But the bastard has $10,000 in his savings.
Oh, yeah. Hang on. He didn't want to fill his tank, so he's borrowed your car.
He wanted to. I told him he can go shovel where the sun don't shine, but yeah.
There you go. Alex is on the line. Alex, you know a tight ass?
Yeah, it was my uncle, eh? So we were down at the beach one day going for a swim and whatnot and got out of the water and he goes, oh, let's go get a couple of slices of bread for a sandwich. We'll go home and we'll make a couple of sandwiches. Anyway, yeah. We went into the bakery, and he goes, oh, can I buy a couple of slices of bread? And the lady just, fluently handed over a loaf of bread and he goes, no. I only want a couple of slices because there's only us, so we only need four slices. And the girl was looking at him like, "What do I do?" And she looked at me, and I was like, "Yeah, I don't know what this is." Like I was just as surprised as she was, and yeah, anyway.
Four slices of bread, please. That is embarrassing behaviour. Well done, Alex. John's on the line. John, tight ass behaviour.
Hey guys, how are we? It was my dad when he was alive. He was that tight. We grew up on a farm, and we only really had running cold water. He wouldn't spring for a hot water system. Oh, wow. So he used to boil the jug to wash up, and we had a bath, but he'd boil the copper, and we'd have to cart the water from the copper with buckets into the bath to fill the bloody thing up, hey.
He's living in Dickensian times, your old man. That's not fun at all. That's not five star.
Oh, my God, he was tight.
Lovely. Look, call me old-fashioned. I don't need a mint on the pillow, but no. hot water is kind of a prerequisite for me. Eddie's on the line. Eddie, who's the tight ass?
Unfortunately, one of my mates, Troy, that I used to go to karaoke with in Newtown.
That's a good way to start a sentence.
Yes, that old one.
We used to always do it'd get to first round, second round, third round. Now, for some reason, every time I got to his round, and he was one of these like buggers that like everyone would get a beer or a soft drink, he'd have to go bourbon, so expensive.
Yeah. He's draining.
All of a sudden. Yeah, all of a sudden he developed two left feet, deliberately stumble up to the bar when it was his round to go up and get himself cut off.
Oh, wow. I thought you were going to say every time it was his round, he was singing a song at karaoke.
Wow.
Horrible choices in songs. I think the worst song that he picked was I'm Not a Girl, Not Yet a Woman by Britney Spears.
Paul, that'll get you chucked out.
That'll get you chucked out.
Either way, good story. My old man was on the big things. He was fantastic, but he would occasionally, if you're going into town, would drive around looking for a parking meter that still had time on it.
Oh, yeah. What is it with old men? Because when we first lived in a housing commission house in Mount Druitt in Wayland, and I said, Dad, we need some chalk to draw some lines on the road so we can play handball. So he said, worries. Went and hit the side of the house, the fibro, like put a chunk in it. He said, there's your chalk. So we draw the chalk lines with fibro from the house. It looked like cheddar cheese in the end.
It's a fine line between genius and tight ass, but I'm going to pay genius.
Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. This is MG's Footy Preview.
One into the other. He's gone right through and scored.
All right, MG, let's start with the Tigers. They need to stop the rot immediately. Save the season. What are they up to?
Well, they've gone for something left field. Let's first hear from James Hooper, who's reporting that they've gone left field. He said this on NRL 360 last night.
Well, the West Tigers have hatched a plan. We obviously know that they're in the market looking for a halfback. They're going to try and have a crack at bringing Mitchell Pearce back to the NRL. So he's currently over playing with Catalans in the English Super League. He is signed there for the remainder of this season and also next year. But if the Tigers can make it happen, they would like it to happen.
Yeah, well, that's so left field. It's almost right field. You heard it right. 34-year-old Mitchell Pearce. The Tigers are looking at a 2-year, $1.5 million or $750,000 per season. While Mitch Pearce would be obviously an added experience and direction to the team, it's not a move that sets up the long-term success of the Tigers. The Tigers, in my opinion, have to look outside the square. And I reckon for a playmaker they should go for is the Sharks' backup halfback, Braden Trindle. Sorry, Sharky fans, to say that. But this guy can play, and he's behind the Dally M Player of the Year, Nico Hines. So... look, as for the Tigers, well, yeah, they've got to look outside. My mail is that Mitchell Pearce will be back at the Roosters next year in a coaching capacity, and also maybe backing up for maybe their halves in Walker and Keary. So, but as I said, rugby league never disappoints, and there's a couple of big, massive games this weekend, Mickey, as well.
It feels like a real Hail Mary, doesn't it, to get him back? Well, there's a blockbuster tonight, mate, as I said.
Oh, yeah.
Rooster v. Eels. What are you thinking on this one?
We seem to say that word a lot in the last 4 weeks about rugby league. Yeah. Blockbusters. They just seem to be coming and coming, and this one is no different. Tonight's game promises to be just that, and... Parramatta are buoyed by the Golden Point thriller last week against Penrith and the re-signing of Mitch Moses. But both these teams, Mick, have had their fair share of drama this week. Parramatta with Gutho, the Gutho saga, and the Roosters with Joseph Suwali headed to Union in 2025. So in a distracted week, who will handle it the better? I'm thinking Parramatta in a tight one, but they've got no Paulo, and the Roosters have no Joseph Manu, so they kind of even themselves out. But this will be a great game tonight. Bring on round 5 already in the NRL.
Wonderful. More footy tips on the way. Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.
The Kardashians have had a complicated relationship with food for some time.
I have cake up my nostrils.
Is this a hairless peach?
This one went and got a Brazilian.
Okay, so we get the idea. Now, Kourtney Kardashian, she is, well, she's into eating in the bathroom. She's posted on her website, her Instagram site, Poosh, or as she likes to call it when she's on the toilet eating, Poosh.
Oh, that didn't sound nice. I apologize. That wasn't ideal.
That was Kourtney.
Hey, don't blame me. Blame the Kardashians. Now, there's been a negative reaction. So she's posted a half-eaten burger was placed on her toilet seat next to a glass of water while a bag of chips lay beneath a dirty towel nestled next to Kardashian's tub. I'm going to say that I'm going to put it to the team here, and I think we've got some for and some against.
Yep.
Let's start with Natasha Belling. You'd be woofing a bag of Doritos in the tub or on the toot, wouldn't you?
Absolutely not. The Kardashians are everything that is wrong with this world. I cannot stand any of them. They're famous for nothing.
All right. Wow. Well, it's a good point, but she has 226 million followers on her Poosh site. Do you eat in the bathroom?
Absolutely not. It's incredibly unhygienic. I do not understand why you can't wait. They have to be separate. You do not have the kitchen anywhere near the bathroom.
Okay. Can I ask you this? Have you ever gone to the toilet in the kitchen? Okay. Don't answer that question.
Maybe on Monday night she did. Yeah.
No, absolutely not.
Now, MG, I think you're going to take the counter position on this one.
Yes, I am. I'm my bathroom's one of the cleanest places in our house. I don't mind having a snack in the toilet. I don't mind finishing my coffee off. This morning I did the same thing. I was having a cup of coffee, enjoying it. I had to go to the toilet, so I took the coffee with me.
To the toilet. Yeah. And are you still eating toast?
Yes, always have toast. Yeah.
Right, you've got toast in one hand, coffee in the other, and you're just freeballing downstairs.
It happens when you're doing our hours and you get up early, you've got to make the most of everything. So I don't mind eating in the bathroom, in the bath, have a bottle of champagne and some strawberries. Come on, what's wrong with it? I mean, everyone does it, don't they?
I like to eat in the bathroom. It just gets it just gets a little confronting for my Uber Eats driver who has to drop it off. Thanks, mate.
Leave it there, mate.
Just leave it over there. Don't get the bag soggy. That's my only problem with chicken McNuggets, because when you eat, when you drop a nugget in the
bath,
you still fish it out. Am I right, fellas?
Of course you do.
No, you don't. You leave it, or you fish it out.
What about you, Kat? Kat, are you?
No to the toilet, but the bath, I could have an entire meal. In fact, I have a trestle thing that goes across the bath.
Yep.
So I could literally eat it, and then I set up a laptop and watch a movie. What is wrong with you people?
That is awesome. Kat's painted a great picture.
She gets out, she's 78, she's wrinkled up. She's been in there
for 2 days.
Look, I would do it, but like, trying to eat a kebab and wipe at the same time. It's like that thing where you have to pat your head and rub your stomach.
On one leg.
You can't get everything done at the one time. I often use the steam from the bath to steam my dim sims, but, beyond that, is there a policy? I'd like to see a cooking show that's set in a bathroom.
Yes.
With Nigella Lawson?
Nigella Lawson, hello. Wow. Hello. I'll have what she's having.
Make a little bubble bra from the bath suds.
Oh, good and really.
Okay, someone always has to take it too far, don't they?
It's me, clearly. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I tell you what, you guys, if you want a kind of a minestrone-style soup, you're always welcome to come around and drink my dirty bath water.
Oh, rotten.
Bring your own ladles.
Oh, yuck.
Hey, we've pivoted and we've gone in a different direction. We were going to take your calls on food, but we've just had a fascinating conversation off air. And it involves these Apple AirTags, which everyone's getting into. You know what they are? Describe them to me, Tash. What do? They let you know. They're used for people to tracking their luggage.
Yeah.
Right. So if your luggage is on a plane and you want to know if it's on the plane, you can put the Apple AirTags in your luggage. And you can know where it is. My guys use it on golf trips so they know if their golf clubs are on the plane or whatever. Well, a traveller has shared an urgent warning for the tens of thousands of Australians who flock to Bali each month after she found an AirTag had been placed in one of her bags without her knowledge.
This is actually really awful, Mick. Sorry.
Tell me all about it. Tell me about it.
I've never heard of these. How big are they to start with?
So they're super tiny. As Mick said, a lot of people are using them now. When we started to return to international and domestic travel, you know, the airlines had massive issues. A lot of people were using them to track their luggage and then they would find where they were. You can use them for your car keys, your handbag. But as Mick said, this is on 7 News that an Australian was over in Bali, Emily Sinclair. And this is really terrifying. I hadn't heard of this before. She said she'd been in Bali for a couple of days and then her and her partner had heard a strange noise coming from one of their bags. She took out the battery from this tag and dismantled it and saw that the device was made in Indonesia. So they alleged that it was actually put in their bag by a stranger to try and track where they were going.
Wow. Well, this is exactly right. So this is a very dangerous aspect to the air tag. I have a friend of mine who has like a Rolex watch and he was told by Rolex not to wear his watch overseas, because what happens now is if you go out to a restaurant, you're sitting in a bar, and someone sees you wearing an expensive piece of jewellery, you're wearing a watch, they will slip it into your pocket. They will slip an AirTag, if you're a woman, into your handbag when you go to the bathroom. And the next thing you know, they can track you, know where you are. If you're at a train station at 2 in the morning, they will roll you and steal your stuff. So this is a bad side effect of the Apple AirTag for mine. And I think there's more of it going on. We've heard people like valets parking cars, and the valet will slip the AirTag into the car, deliver your Maserati or your Ferrari back to you, and then they can track it back to your house or wherever you're going next and pinch your car. So I think that it's problematic going on with this stuff. It's like, I suppose, your phone tracker, isn't it? So you've got an Apple phone tracker, but what are your defences in that instance?
Well, it's interesting. After this story, Apple's support website has now advised people if you do find an AirTag, which is tracking you, or if you receive an alert, one is tracking you on your iPhone, they actually say that you should keep it. And when reporting it to police, do not destroy the device, as you actually can use it to help trace the person who originally owned it. So they're saying don't destroy it. If you report it to the police, take it to the police, and then they can hopefully track who actually purchased that and popped it in your bag.
A bit of vigilante action going on. I like it. Yeah, come here. Here's a tag you put in my pocket. Come here, buddy. Boom, boom. Nick Lang. Wang, wang. Bang.
That's just one way of dealing with it.
Is that how it goes?
Well, what if they tag me? Put it that way.
And I'm going to drop an air tag. Do you know what? I need to air tag you so I know when you're on a bar crawl, when you're out with your mates.
Put one in your pocket now because you'll follow me this weekend. I'm going everywhere.
I'm going to track you, big fella. All right, you get the idea. When we come back, Ross Noble's going to swing by.
Yeah, can't wait.
We've got Hamish Blake not far away. We're going to have an OMG MG as he lifts the lid on the seedy world of show business, including the antics of Barack Obama and Rod Stewart, who are basically running amok and tipping furniture over in the great city of Sydney, doing whatever they like. I'm not happy about it. There'll be a bit of sport. But let's start at the top with this bloke, one of the greats, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to live entertainment. Comedy genius, if I don't mind saying so myself. The great Ross Noble joins us live on the program.
Roscoe.
Ross, from our Melbourne studio today, you've just been to Adelaide, you've opened last night in the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, and you're on your way to Sydney to join us up here so we can enjoy your comic stylings in Jibber Jabber Jamboree. Great name. How'd you come up with that?
I thought, I need something. I went, oh, what do I do during the show? What's it about? It's me just jibber-jabbering. And I just went, I can't just call it jibber-jabber. People will think that it's a tribute to Mr. T. Could you jibber-jabber fool? And I thought, if I add the word jamboree, then people will distance myself from Mr. T. And,
what's a jamboree? What is a jamboree?
I think a jamboree is a sort of, the scouts used to have them. It's a get-together. It's a community, it's an uplifting community get-together. And then...
Do you require anything from the audience? Like, is it like a fireside thing? Jamboree, you think of everyone, a bit of a kumbaya kind of circle of life.
Yeah, bring some marshmallows. Look,
if there is a fire during the show, I have failed at my job. I mean, that's the number one thing. It's just going, oh, it was amazing. It was like we all sat around the fire as they burnt the theatre down. There was, in fact, last night, get this right, yes. I couldn't believe this last night. And this woman, she's been to the show before. Right? I walk out and then she turns up there. She's carrying a dog with her, right?
Oh, wow.
Now, straight away, if somebody's carrying a dog, you think, that's not a guide dog, that, because the minimum requirement for a guide dog is that they have to be in charge. They have to be on the floor. They're leading. And I'm thinking, hang on, she's got this all wrong here. Has she got a blind dog and she's carrying it around? There's been a terrible administrative error here. And then she's walked in and she sat the dog down. Like, she sat down, she's got the dog on her lap. And I realise it's an emotional support dog. People who, each to their own. I mean, some people opt for medication. Some people go, no, I need the medication in the form of a dog. And then I
what type of dog was it?
Like a Paris Hilton dog or?
I thought you said a paracetamol dog. It was made of paracetamol. She was licking it. No, it was a sort of, it looked like kind of Kelpie. And then I realised, I went, is that an emotional support dog? And then I realised she'd been to the show last year. She'd walked in last year and put the dog on the... I went, because I recognised the dog. I went, hang on, I've met that dog before. And she put the dog on the stage.
What?
She'd put the dog on the stage. And I thought, I know that dog. And then sure enough, and I flashed back. It was like the part two of another of last year's show. And I realised the dog was on the stage and the dog was freaking out. And I realised the dog now requires a smaller emotional support guinea pig. And then maybe the guinea pig isn't used to being with the dog. Guinea pigs have got no, they've got, everything's a predator to it. The guinea pig's freaking out. he's going to need an emotional support mouse, and so on and so forth until you end up with a. So yeah, it was very odd. So it's not often that I have people. You wouldn't call a dog livestock, would you? But So yeah, it was.
Why did you put the dog on the stage? Did you ask her to, or did she just think that was helping you somehow, or it would inspire you, or
have a good view, I suppose?
Or maybe she was emotionally stable at that point and just went, "Hang on, I don't need the dog at the moment.
I don't need the dog anymore. He looks more unstable than me. His bloke's all over the shop. Here, have my support dog. Wow. Hey, hold that thought, Ross. We're going to come back and talk some more. We're going to talk about your shows at the Enmore Theatre. Saturday 30th of May and the Concourse Theatre in Chatswood. You want to get along. This will be the best jamboree of the year, bar none. are you just loving it being back in your natural habitat?
Oh, it's fantastic, yeah. It's just that the fact that you know that it's not going to get cancelled. You know, that's funny because you know the show's not going to get cancelled, but you're not sure whether I'm going to get cancelled. You know who's going to...
Well, that's another one.
Metaphorically speaking.
I'm going to describe the show to you. It's a freewheeling event. Is that... have I captured the spirit of it? It's a kind of stream of consciousness, psychobabble, all rolled into a Beckett-like structure that just sees you basically. Do you have any structure when you go on stage? Do you know what you're doing, or are you just following the last thing to come out of your mouth?
I love what the is fact it? That you've. Yeah, I love the fact you've said it's Beckett-like. I'm glad you said it, because if you put that on a press release and just go, it's very reminiscent of Beckett. I bet some critic would come along and go, oh yeah, waiting for punchlines more like, never mind Godot.
Well, this is your 21st stand-up solo. I'm always intrigued with comedians, and I always ask Mick the same question. I'd love to get your opinion on it. Material. Yeah. Where do you source your material over such a long period? Are you a watcher of people? Do you kind of, you know, where do you get it?
Oh, look, it's one of those, as Mick says, my is jibber jabber is not, that's very much, it's, look. It's
self-explanatory, isn't it?
Very much so.
You're telling people what this show is.
Yeah. There's no profundity in anything that I do. Let me make that quite clear.
Okay.
And, you know, some comedians, you know, like they troll their innermost soul, or they talk about like their deep personal thoughts. And I do that thing where I'll be watching telly, and you know, you'll have those like, you know, the stable table, for example, and I'll get something in my head, and I'll literally go, it won't go away. So it could be anything. It's like literally like, I'm just trying to think, like I might see somebody with unusual shoes, and then, or like here's an example.
There's half an hour right there.
Yeah, I was in Adelaide, right? This is something that I got obsessed with for the month, right? I stood at the checkout at the supermarket, and there's a guy, and this would probably only really happen in Adelaide. This guy stood next to me, and I wish I'd asked him what he was planning that night, right? But so I speculated every night of Adelaide. I was speculating what this guy was up to. He had two items, right? And I looked across, I laughed in his face, and he sort of ran away before I had an idea, before I had a chance. He had two items, and the woman put something, bleep, bleep. The two items he had, right, in the supermarket, bunch of flowers and a cucumber. Now, what is going... And it's one of those things where, and most people would have just let that go. And for a solid month, all I could think about was, what was he planning? What was he planning? Was he on his way to the, was he on the way then? Knock, 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 flowers. And I brought you this, get out, you know. Or did she say, could you, just come over later, bring a cucumber? And she's answered the door with a half-finished Greek salad, and he's going, oh, this isn't the way I thought it was going to go. And then, did he think, oh, some women like flowers, some women like cucumbers. And then
covered.
You know, like, you turn up to somebody's, he's, oh, me, you've got to come to my relative's funeral. And he goes, oh, I know what I'll do. I'll write the word nan in cucumbers. And she's like, you idiot. Should have been flowers. So something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, it's literally. So, and then for a solid month, I just spend, yeah, my entire brain is consumed with what was he up to? What was that cucumber character up to?
Just and before that's... we go, that's it. It's a Tinder date with a vegan. Who knows? Exactly. Can I say this to you? We had a conversation on the show just before we wrap up about eating food in the bathroom. Are you for or against?
Oh, my Lord. If food in the bathroom. Now, hang on. Are we? Oh, sorry. Hone in on the rules. Are we talking about the bathroom in an Australian sense, like a room with a bath in it, or are we talking in American sense, bathroom as in the toilet?
The toilet and possibly bath all in one.
Look, I'm not going to lie to you. If you're in the bath and you've got one of those, it's the... The humidity of the bath is the perfect complement to a cheese board. You know? Oh, just the right humidity. You know, because when you take the brie, when the brie comes straight out of the fridge, it can be a little hard, but just with a slight infusion of Redox. Lovely.
Well, now I'm mentioning Ross Noble in the bath with a 10-pound Edam. Thank you for your time today, Ross. The show is Jibber Jabber Jamboree. You will love this show, make no mistake. Buckle up. It's going to be a ride. The Concourse Theatre on Friday the 12th and the Enmore Theatre Saturday 13th of May. Tickets available through Ticketek. Thanks, Ross, for your time today.
See you, mate.
Bye, buddy.
MG Sport Report. Okay, time for tips, big fella. Lay them out. Help us all out. How can we go the full card? Let's start with the Roosters Eels tonight. What's happening?
Yeah, good game. Excellent game. Start off round 5. Can you believe it? From Allianz Stadium from 8 p.m. Yep. We'll hear all the action right here on Triple M. I'm leaning towards the Eels in this one, Mickey.
Jeez, is that you going against the trend there? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think a bit of distraction this week from the Roosters with the Joseph Suwali thing and Parramatta. I think Gutho will be out to prove a point. He'll probably be man of the match tonight, Gutherson.
Check Rabbitohs v Storm tomorrow night at 8 p.m. I think you're going to go to the Rabbitohs, aren't you?
I think so. Yeah, Rabbitohs at Acorn Stadium, 8 p.m. I'm leaning towards the Rabbitohs against the depleted Melbourne.
Never seen Bellamy so unhinged.
No, he's an angry man.
He's been quite dramatic over the last few weeks. Dragons v Dolphins. Here we go.
Hard one to pick. Dolphins got a few out. They're travelling to Wollongong. I'm going to say the Dragons will win this one.
They need to shape up quick sticks. Sharks v Warriors. Warriors, they're still undefeated. Am I right there?
No, Warriors, the only undefeated team so far are the Broncos. They've won 4 from 4, but the Warriors have won 3 from 4. They're the surprise packet along with the Dolphins in this year's competition. But I think the Sharkies on home deck with Nico Hines back will be too strong for them.
Raiders, I'm guessing, have no chance against your boys, the Panthers.
With Jack Whiten out for 2 weeks, it makes it harder for them. I'm picking the Panthers.
Sea Eagles v Knights. Lay it out.
In a word, Manly.
I think there's much dispute about that one. Broncos, West Tigers. Here we go.
Broncos. In a word.
I was trying to talk you into doing something controversial there. And lastly, the Bulldogs and the Cowboys to boot it all home.
Yeah, this is probably one of the hardest ones to pick of the round. This is at Belmore at 6:30 on Sunday. The Doggies need this win. Cowboys got a bit of form back in their game last week. But I'm leaning towards the Josh Reynolds-inspired, coming off the bench, Bulldogs for this one.
All right, and finally, the grand final, MCG or Sydney?
Sydney. It's Sydney.
Can we get Valandis on, please?
We've got to get him.
This is one of the greatest plays I've ever heard. This guy's good. Hamish Blake, he's on the line now. She's a simpleton, if she can not understand that this is the biggest story in town. Hamish, welcome back.
Appreciate it, Mick. My MZ, yes, the grand host of Grand Masters. Welcome. How are you guys?
Well, how's it going to play out? What are you going to do? Because there's going to be some big ego. Oh, yeah. By the way, it starts Monday, 7:30 on Channel 9, of course, Easter Monday, of course. There's going to be some big egos on deck. How are you going to manage this?
Yeah, it's big. You've got all the all-star players. And you know, guys, you know, the only way that you can really properly sort out an ego is performance on the field. And that's what the Grand Masters is all about.
Yeah,
I mean, you can talk the talk, but can you click the bricks? That's what it comes down to.
That is. And we've got them from all five seasons, of course. And there's some great couples. I'm looking at them now. Joss and Henry, David and Gus, Henry and Sarah, Alex and Kat. I mean, they all look fantastic. If you had to pick one of these couples to end up turning out one day to be serial killers, which one would it be?
Obviously, Nick, I mean, you put me in a difficult position. I can't pick Trent and Kale.
Yeah. Trent and Kale.
He's named names. I can't believe it. That is fantastic. I love this show. My boys love this show. It's going to be. Can I give you one idea, possibly?
No, please do.
A big finale. Well, you know how often you see from time to time on shows that people do the fire walking, where you have to walk on hot coals? Maybe you put up a pit full of Lego and that to be the Grand Wizards, you have to do that. You know, you stomp across the hot coals. So you have to stomp across a pit of Lego and get to the other end.
I feel like people would choose hot coal over Lego, to be honest. Everybody would be like I don't quite have what it is. I'll take second place and just go hot coal. Thank you.
You know that look of extreme concentration as you stamp your feet and you try and get to the end? Wow, I'd love to see that. Get Brickman to do it. Yeah, what's Brickman up to? He's gone quiet. What's he been doing? Sitting in the basement working on a Lego spruce goose? What's he doing?
What do you mean he's gone quiet? Do you... Following the output of Brickman, are you, Mick?
He's just kind of reclusive. He's kind of reclusive. When he's not on, he's enigmatic.
You have to be reclusive when you're a Lego master because he's in his workshop building enormous Lego builds. I mean, it's not an extrovert's activity. It takes a lot of time to build a McLaren F1. You can't whip it together while you're out at the pub.
No, you can't. You can't fast track that stuff, can you? That's going to take a big chunk out of your day.
I'll say this is his greatest season yet as well. While we're throwing hyperbole around, he's in fine form this season.
So, what else can we expect? Obviously, you're promising the world here. The best of the best returns for Lego Masters, Grand Masters, premiere, of course, April 10, 7:30, Channel 9. Back where it belongs, prime time. What do you got? What's new for us?
Channel 9. Well, we wouldn't promise the world if we didn't deliver it. And I know it's very popular to say it's the greatest season of all time, but I feel like, you know, we're mates. I would be honest with you. If I thought this was the third best season, I'd be honest.
Would you say it?
I'd come in and go, look, obviously, you know, God, season 2 was amazing. We didn't quite get back there, but it's pretty good. But in this instance, I would say it is the greatest of all time. It delivers. Well, the best of the best. They don't hold back.
I can't wait. My boys can't wait. It's a terrific show. It's fun for the whole family. And it goes around again Easter Monday, 7:30 p.m. Thanks for your time today, Hamish.
Good on you, Hamish.
Thanks, Mickey. Thanks, FJ. Have a good morning, boys.
Bye, buddy.
From rugby league brawls to media scrums. From green grass stains to red carpet burns. From hit-ups to Hollywood. With the latest in entertainment news, it's OMG MG.
OMG MG. Oh, yes, my God. Oh, it's MGs. A lot like John Michael Howson.
Oh, Richard Reid. I'm from America coming in for Barack Obama and Michelle. Well, the former president has been everywhere in Sydney, and he and his wife, Michelle, yesterday were given special permission to climb Sydney Harbour Bridge and get this, without safety harnesses.
What?
Yeah, without.
What? That is not on. I don't care if you've been the most powerful man in the world. You climb it like everyone else.
That's right. Yeah.
So what happened? So they went up sans harness.
Yeah, well, the Obamas and their entourage were allowed to walk over the coat hanger, as we call it affectionately in Sydney here, without having to wear the jumpsuits, which everyone has to agonisingly get into them when their fly size is too small. And the safety apparatus usually required to by an operator of bridge climb. So they've kind of broken all protocols because he's an ex-president. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. He didn't have to pay.
If you're the Pope, you pop on your jumpsuit. I'd love to see the Pope. Man, I'd love to see the Pope, though, climb the Harbour Bridge. He's had it get blown off. He's had it get blown off. And his skirt would blow up like Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. You could see his balls.
You see these massive cags.
Wow. Do you know they? This is true. There was a thing called the testicle chair.
Yep.
Listen, Tash, come back. It's called the testicle chair, and it was because of a pope back in the day. May have been Pope Joan, who it turned out to be a woman. Right, oh, wow. They found out it was a woman, and so thereafter, every pope had to sit on a testicle chair. I'm not making this up. And basically, you know, like a car that's up on blocks, the testicle chair would be up on blocks, and people would come in underneath and check out, do a stock take, go, yeah, testy one, testy two.
Oh, my goodness. That'd be great.
Pope's good to go.
Because the church can't have any women in power, because that'd be the end of the world.
And that's why there's no weird views sexually within the Vatican. We need one here. I want a testicle chair.
Yep.
And I'm going to sit on it every morning.
I would mind a chair right here, just so we'd have to go for toilet breaks all the time. Just let us do it here in the studio.
So you can't use it, mate. You don't use the testicle chair. What are you doing, MG? It's just to check out. Everything's in its place. You can't snap one off. While people are having a look at the testicle chair.
The last thing
you want to do is be dumped on by a pope. That would just be the end of it. All right, move on, please.
Okay. Well, Sir Rod Stewart is in the news again. he's been to the Opera House.
You won't let this go. Ever since you heckled him, since you heckled him down on the rocks, you've been after him. Yep. What's he done?
Well, Sir Rod Stewart made his way out to my neck of the woods yesterday. He was spotted in Pendle Hill outside the Woodpecker Model Railway Train Shop, posing for a picture with the staff. Apparently, he's an avid train collector. And at Pendle Hill out there at Woodpecker Model Railway Shop, he went and got some stuff for his collection back home.
That's a big day down the model railway shop when Rod Stewart burst through the door, isn't it? He's with the lead singer from Simply Red.
Mick Ucknell.
Mick Ucknell, he looks like he could be a train spotter. And what did he do? Did he buy anything?
Yeah, well, apparently he did. The owner, Marilyn, said that I knew he was a train collector, and he has been for a while, so he just bought a few nicks and knacks, and off he went. They've got their photo with him, like we tried to do on Monday at the Fortune.
Come to think of it, he was wearing his Casey Jones hat the other day, wasn't he? Mm. He had a little Casey Jones hat on.
He's very tiny.
He's a jockey. He looks like a jockey.
Mm. Oh, he's about 112. Yeah, you know what I mean? Give him a... He looked a bit frail when we saw him live, didn't he? I mean, I'd love to see him in concert, but, I'd get there early. I don't know if he's... I can a quick show is a good show with the way Rod Stewart was looking. I don't know if they need roadies or someone with those ECG machines. Stand clear.
Or the puppeteer.
Quick, get him up for Maggie May. Stop. Whatever.
Sorry.
It's my United States of whatever. All
right. Jeez. All right,
here we go. No, come back. Yeah, come back. The talk about the testicle chair is throwing us all a bit off. Tash is still trying to come to grips.
Going straight to hell, Mick Malloy.
There's been too much toilet talk for you today, isn't there? Eating on the toilet. Imagine if the Pope ate on the testicle chair.
Oh.
Wow.
A hot dog.
That would be good. And he also ate a sourdough loaf with communion wine inside it. So now he's eating the body and the wine and blood of Christ on the testicle chair in the bath.
With the injected oranges with vodka. There's a day for you.
Well, All right. That's now you've gone too far. It was fun up until then. Hey, Eels Roosters tonight, people. Gather around the telly. All the hallmarks of an epic. On the show tomorrow, Glenn Robbins, bang. Yes. Always a pleasure to have him on. And Titus O'Reilly, of course, talking about what's going on in the world of sport and promoting our podcast, Sports Bazaar, Your Last Chance, the final in our trilogy of table tennis. Ooh. Who knew table tennis would take up three episodes? It's out now on all your platforms and listener. Give it a burl. It's going gangbusters. See you tomorrow, idiots.
Bye-bye.
Nick Molloy, MG in the morning. Get the Toyota forklift advantage. Visit toyotamaterialhandling.com.au.